Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time. Although, for me, after this past weekend, it's not going to be Daddy Soda time for at least a couple days. But it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast. We love it. We know we've got a bunch of diehards. If you are one of the diehards, by the way, please spread the word to other dudes. You're not giving out any state secrets here. We want people to know that there is a place they can go to follow the top prospects in the biggest games all season long. The draft is not just, you know, a 1 month or 2 or 3 month thing after the season ends. It never stops. He is Fran Duffy. He's unquestionably the star of the show. He puts in all kinds of time because he loves it. He's got the sickness, the disease. You can follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. There's a reason why he is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm a former offensive lineman. Got a bunch of different podcasts like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money. And if you're into this front office stuff or scouting stuff, Andrew Brandt's got the business of sports as well. We always start with guys that stood out to us while watching TV over the weekend, while watching college games over the weekend, as well as the top quarterbacks, all of whom were in action. Let's start with Sam Darnold. I almost feel like every one of his games so far this year has been like a roller coaster in and of itself. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a glass case of emotion. You watch this kid and you see all the great things about him, and he's still so young. I mean, he just eclipsed double digits in terms of starts as a starting college quarterback. And you watch him this week against Utah. He fumbles three times, and this has become a little bit of an issue. It's not, again, like I said last week, not something that's going to deter me from selecting him top 10 if I value him that way. But you watch Sam Darnold, 27 of 50. It wasn't pretty early on, but he ends up with 358 yards. He leads the team on three scoring drives in the second half, brings them back from two touchdowns down, and he made some outstanding throws in that second half. And you see the pocket movement. You see him work with his eyes downfield. He's not, running around, kind of like running around with like a chicken with his head cut off. He always looks like he's under control. He's got his eyes downfield. And really, that's one of the things that stands out to me. You saw that on the touchdown he threw to the tight end, Tyler Petit. That was a thing of beauty. He pulled them within seven. He ends up tying the game and then ends up going up and putting the Trojans on top with just under 5 minutes to go. And you watch him play. And that's really the big thing that stands out to me. And a lot of people will say, a lot of his big plays this year have come from outside of the structure, which is somewhat true. But when you watch Sam Darnold, it's not that his game is reliant on playing out of structure. So it's not like what we talked about last year with Patrick Mahomes, where if he wasn't playing out of structure, he wasn't succeeding. And that's what we've seen from some guys like Baker Mayfield in the past as well. That's not the case with Darnold. Darnold is able to play within structure, but then if things do break down, which they often have this year with an inexperienced offensive line, you're able to see him then create for himself. And that's one of the things that stands out to me. And I love the touch that he shows. I love his ability to find receivers downfield. I think that he's looked pretty good watching on TV. I'm excited to dive deeper once the season comes closer to an end.
All right, what about Josh Rosen, Josh Allen? The Josh is both back in action this week.
Yeah, I didn't watch the full game against Arizona, but just going back and watching the highlights of this one, it was not a pretty stat line for Josh Rosen. He was 20 of 34, 219 yards, no touchdowns, three picks. Two of those picks were down in the red zone. One, his last one was maybe the worst one. Seemed like a predetermined throw to me, Ross. It was in the quick game. They were running double slants. And it seemed like he just knew, like, all right, I'm just going to fire this to the backside slant. And that middle of the field defender will be gone because of the slant on the inside. Was not the case. The interior defender passed off that inside slant, read Josh Rosen the entire way, and picked that pass off inside the, I think it was around the 15-yard line. He threw another one from the opposite hash earlier in the game as well. So Josh Rosen, wasn't a pretty day, especially if you're worried about his decision-making, his ability to read a defense and keep the ball out of harm's way. That was not the case this week. in the game against Arizona, which they did end up losing. And then Josh Allen from Wyoming also had a pretty strong day. You know, some of the throws, I didn't get to watch that game either against Utah State. But going back and just watching the highlights, going back and watching what we've seen of him, he threw a really nice touchdown where he threw a couple pump fakes on the defense. He did that actually in a couple big plays in that game where you see him manipulating defenders. So excited to go back and study that as well.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen needed that. What else did you see over the weekend? Obviously, that Syracuse-Clemson game Friday night, I actually didn't go to a high school football game Friday night. I ended up going to one on Saturday afternoon. But Friday night, I'm watching Clemson-Syracuse, and that was an entertaining as heck game.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you've got an offense that's different from any other in the conference, which is the case with Syracuse, they play a little bit different style ball. It's very similar to what we saw in Baylor under Art Briles. It's that kind of style of football. People have called it the Bear Raid, whatever you want to try and call that offense. So they're going to put up numbers on you. And if you sit back and play zone coverage, whether it's single high, whether it's cover two, whether it's quarters, they're going to find ways to attack you. And that was the case in this game. The quarterback, the junior quarterback, Eric Dungy, finished with 339 total yards, three touchdowns. Syracuse quarterback Kelly Bryant, he ended up leaving with a concussion. But overall, it was a very entertaining game to watch. I watched a good amount of that game. Cleland Farrell, the DN from Clemson, that D-line for Clemson is just stud after stud after stud, whether they're draft eligible this year or whether they're coming out next year. But this kid, Cleland Farrell, is a redshirt sophomore. I think he had six TFLs, 3.5 sacks in the game. He was all over the field for those Tigers. And you just watch that group again. Like I said, you know, Christian Wilkins on the inside. Dexter Lawrence is a guy we're not talking about right now, but we'll be talking about next summer and going into next year as one of the top juniors available. He's a freak on the inside as well. So they've got a ton of talent. Austin Bryant on the outside. It's a really, really good group for that Clemson defensive line. They just couldn't get the job done when it mattered. And then the senior receiver for Syracuse, it's getting a little bit of buzz because of how productive he's been. You know, he leads FBS with 62 catches. That's the senior Steve Ishmael, who's a big kid. I want to say he's 6'2", 205. He's got over 800 yards receiving right now, over four touchdowns. And remember last year, around this time, we were starting to hear a little bit of buzz about the speedy receiver, Amba Etatawa from Syracuse. And, you know, he was so productive. He was one of the best big play threats in college football. But what did we talk about then? He wasn't a refined route runner. He wasn't great off the line of scrimmage. He had a very limited route tree. That is all the case right now with Ishmael. A lot of the same technical limitations. But then also, he's just not the kind of athlete that even Amba Etatawa was. He's not a speed demon. He's not a guy that's going to stretch the defense vertically. He's more of a contested catch type of guy. I actually just recently watched his game against NC State. That's the kind of player he is. Is he wants to win with his size, with his strength. I mentioned he's 6'2", 205. He's got really long arms for his size. So his ability to win physically at the catch point, even early in the down off of press coverage, that's kind of the strength of his game. He's just not the kind of athlete that you're going to look at and say, you know what, this guy's going to be a starter on the outside. But he's absolutely been very, very productive so far through the season.
Anybody else? So that was the Syracuse Clemson game. What did you think? What do you think of the Syracuse quarterback, by the way?
You know, I struggle. You know, I haven't studied him yet, and just watching him on tape or watching him on TV rather, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about him overall. But I don't think I'm going to have super high hopes going into when I do start studying him.
Got it. Okay. What, anybody else jump out to you over
the weekend? Yeah, a couple of their running backs. Yeah, I mean, a couple of these running backs from around the country, and we've seen it from every level in terms of which class they're in. If they're juniors, sophomores, freshmen, you know, the freshman superstar Cam Akers from Florida State was outstanding this week. He got one of his first big play touchdowns of the season, a 42-yarder. That was a game winner for them in Florida State. It was an outstanding player. You saw that contact bounce, but also his breakaway speed. The Auburn running back, Kerryon Johnson, I'm not sure what his upside is overall, but, man, he is big and physical. He averaged 5 yards a carry against LSU this past week, 150 yards rushing. He scored his 13th touchdown of the year. He just finds a way to reach the end zone. He's a big physical back. Like I said, I don't know that he's going to project as a starter at the next level, but they love his physicality, love his ability to run through contact. And speaking of that, LJ Scott from Michigan State had his best game of the year, almost 200 yards rushing, 7.8 yards carry, two touchdowns. really, really fun to watch L.J. Scott kind of unleash. It was one of, like I said, it was his best game of the year. But he also had a critical fumble in that game as well, and nearly lost that game for the Spartans. So when you look at L.J. Scott, you see a big physical ball carrier. I think he's got pretty good vision between the tackles. The question is going to be his ball security, and that's going to be an issue that's going to kind of hurt him moving forward. He's got another year of eligibility, so he's got the ability to go back and hopefully prove that he can protect the football. But that certainly has been his Achilles heel so far throughout his career.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kerryon Johnson. I didn't watch him as much as the Pettman kid, so I'm looking forward to checking him out. Cam Akers was an Army Bowl kid, Fran. He was really impressive. I mean, really, in every way. Like, his mentality. He played quarterback in high school, actually, in Mississippi High School. And his highlights are, as you probably can guess, unbelievable. But even, you know, he just how seriously he took, like, pass pro and blitz pickup when I was talking with him. He's just one of those kids that just gets it, you know, and I think he'll have a lot of success as a result. Speaking of just getting it, you guys can just get free money. We're giving out free money if you go to betdsi.com. If you just use the promo code college25, you get a $25 free wager just for registering. Then if you decide to deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on your money. Look, I play there. It's why not? I like getting free money. I like to get into College 25, free $25 plus a 200% extra bonus. It definitely adds a little excitement to the games. And the way we got it rolling on Even Money Podcast, you might as well. Again, College 25 at betdsi.com. Let's go head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
We shall start with the Herb Street Fowler game Saturday night. It's Michigan at Penn State, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Michigan's offense has really struggled, but they've got some impressive guys on the defensive side of the ball, and that's probably where the most interesting matchups are.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, obviously, when Penn State's offense is on the field, all eyes are going to be on Saquon Barkley for good reason. We talked last week about, you know, are we a little worried about him getting kind of bottled up against Northwestern? To me, watching him, and I watched him a little bit more actually over the weekend, he's just so physically gifted. You know, his contact balance, his burst straight in a straight line, his ability to find a small crack. He's not a super high quality back in terms of his vision, but just his physical tools are just outstanding. And when you watch Saquon Barkley go up against this Michigan front, you know, Mike McCray is the big senior on that side. He's third on the team right now with 39 stops. He's a big kid. He's 6'4", 240. I believe he's number 9. So you keep an eye out for that single digit in the Michigan linebacking core. He's got 5.5 TFLs on the year. That's going to be one of the matchups to watch in this game. I'll be interested to see if Penn State's able to get him out in space against McCray. And then along in the trenches, man, you talked about all the talent for that Michigan defense being for that Michigan team being on the defensive side. You got to start with Rashawn Gary, the DN, who's just really physically impressive. He's got 33 tackles on the year. He's a Jersey kid, so he's somewhat local to me where I'm at. And Gary has been making headlines since he was back in high school. And then really, when you look at this Penn State offensive line, it's gotten better. It's not quite to the quality that maybe that they would like, but it still has gotten better from what we've seen in recent years there. And the left tackle, Ryan Bates, has, you know, got some buzz going around him. He's a redshirt sophomore, 6'5", 305, so he's going to need to put some more weight on and get a little bit bigger as he gets older. But I think he's got solid feet. He started his career as a guard, and so you can kind of see that guard footwork from him, Rob. I don't know if that's how you see him as well. I think he's got the ability to play either position at the next level, having watched him over the weekend. He's got pretty good hands. I do like that he's got that position versatility. I'd just like to see him get a little bit stronger, see a little bit more pop from him in the run game. But then they've got some guys on the inside as well. I know there's some people that have caught your eye. I watched the senior Andrew Nelson, who's kind of coming back from that knee injury he suffered last year, has been in and out of the lineup this year. But this Penn State O-line going up against this Michigan defensive front, I mentioned Gary. There's another senior there, Chase Winovich, who's the leader right now with 5.5 sacks in the year for that Michigan team. Maurice Hurst on the inside is really, really disruptive, and he's been a force for that Michigan team right now. 31 tackles, 7 TFLs. I've watched Hurst now for the last 3 years, and Hurst is got the ability to take over a game because of that first step quickness, but also he's got the ability to hold up at the point of attack in the run game. So that's going to be the big matchup, is can this Penn State offensive line get enough movement against this Michigan defensive front? I don't know if there's guys for Penn State up front that have really caught your eye as well, since you watch them pretty much every week.
Right. Well, so, I mean, you're right about Michigan, by the way. Rashawn Gary, I mean, when he was in ninth grade, he was 285 pounds, like running a 4.5. Like, I mean, he had offers anywhere he wanted when he was in ninth grade. I'll never forget, because there's a kid from my area that was very talented as well. And, you know, Rashawn Gary was always ranked number one in that class. Winovich is actually a Western PA kid. He went to Thomas Jefferson High School in Pittsburgh, was a linebacker that's kind of built himself up into a DN, but he can really run. I mean, that's what jumps out when you watch Michigan, is how their D-line and even just their front. Hurst is an absolute monster. You know, Bates is interesting. He doesn't have really long arms. And, you know, the Penn State coaches will tell you that they think he's a better tackle than he is a guard. But I don't know, not having that length in terms of his arms, I wonder if he's a better fit, like a Zach Martin or a Joel Batonio being moved inside. That would be my guess, just not having that length or that size. But we'll see. He's definitely a pro. As is the center, Connor McGovern. He's just a true sophomore who started probably 8 games last year at right guard as a true freshman. So already Fran has the versatility of playing guard as a true freshman, center now as a sophomore. He's really stout. I mean, he could stand to play a little lower, but he's a powerful, smart kid, not draft eligible. And then I don't think Nelson, I'd be surprised if Nelson plays pro football. I mean, he's had so many injuries at Penn State.
Yeah.
Has not played well this year. The kid that I think will get drafted is Brendan Mann. When you get a chance, check him out, number 70. Last year he played left tackle, started left tackle, played some right tackle when they had an injury. This year he's playing right guard. He's probably the best run blocker they have. He's heavy-handed, and he's got some versatility. So those are some of the guys. I think Penn State probably has 3 O linemen right now that will get drafted. I don't know that any of them are high picks, but over the next few years, Mann will be this year, Bates probably next year if he leaves school a year early, and then McGovern maybe the year after that, but we'll see. When Michigan has the ball, who are you watching there? It's interesting because Michigan's offense is terrible, and they're tough to watch. We know that. And then Penn State defensively, Fran, they don't really have, like, you know, especially not upperclassmen,
right,
who look like pros, like total studs, but their defense has been awesome. And the guys I want you to watch when you get a chance, their corners, like, they lost arguably their best defensive player and their best corner in John Reed, who's from St. Joe's Prep in Philadelphia. He's a South Jersey kid. Their corners have played really well this year. And a couple of them, number 21, Amani Aroriorewe or something like that, he's played well. And Christian Campbell is another one that's got size and has played. This is his first year as a starter. I think he's a senior. They've played really well. I wonder if, you know, they're going to start to get some looks just because of their size and how they've played. But what's the matchup when Michigan has the ball in your mind to watch?
Well, to me, when I watch Michigan, the guy that is really the prospect that's on the radar right now is the left tackle, Mason Cole. I don't think many people see him as a tackle in the NFL. He was their starting center a year ago. I think he is more of an interior guy when it's all said and done, whether that's a guard or center. He's 6'4", 294. He's tough. I like his ability, or his willingness to finish blocks at the point of attack. He's got the ability to be a people mover up front. But really, the thing with him that when I watched him was, he's not super strong and powerful right now. You know, he plays with pretty decent technique, but overall, you just don't see that pop from him when I watched him at center. At left tackle, I just don't think he's got the length there. Like what you talked about with Bates, I don't think he's got the frame that you want to be on the outside. I think he's probably more of a center or a guard when it's all said and done. But watching Mason Cole, you see that athletic ability. There were some shots that went around on social media over the weekend of him as a puller out in the perimeter and finishing blocks out in space outside the numbers. But really, when you watch this game, I think you're going to look at Cole going up against this Penn State defensive pass rush. You know, you've got some young defensive ends there for Penn State. Sharif Miller is a redshirt sophomore. He's got 2.5 sacks in the year. You have Shaka Taoni, who's got 3 sacks as well. A lot of these guys, he's only a redshirt freshman, so he's not even eligible yet either. But they've got some young pass rushers. They're missing Torrance Brown, who I studied coming into the year. But they're still getting some production off the edge. And you talked about that secondary. Yeah, they've got some new faces there at corner. But then the safety, Marcus Allen, is a player that people were excited about as well. He doesn't have great production on the ball in terms of interceptions going into the year, but a guy that's been very productive in terms of tackles and coming downhill and defending the run. Like you said, Michigan has had trouble regardless of who's been at quarterback, whether it's been Spate or Okorn. They've really struggled in terms of moving the ball consistently this year.
Let's get to USC Notre Dame. I don't know what the deal is. The football gods do not love us. They're playing the game at the exact same time, 7:30 p.m. on NBC. Both these teams have a bunch of guys to watch. Obviously, when USC has the ball, everybody will be interested to see how Sam Darnold performs. What about who else on USC's offense or Notre Dame's defense?
You got to watch Ronald Jones, the running back. And this will be – honestly, Ross, when you get back, whether that's right or wrong, this will be one of those games that everyone points to for Sam Darnold and his overall, you know, draft evaluation in the media, because it's prime time against a big name opponent. Everybody watches Notre Dame. Everybody's keeping an eye on Notre Dame. It's one of the best rivalries in college football, this USC Notre Dame game. So I think this will be one of the games that everybody kind of points to either in a positive or negative light for Sam Darnold. So everybody will be watching that. But Ronald Jones, he's had a really good year. They've got a freshman there in Stephen Carr, who I believe could be on his way back from injury in this game, and that will be really good for the Trojans if he's able to return. But Ronald Jones is really impressive. He went for 111 yards and a touchdown last week against Utah. He's explosive. He's long. He's got that long stride that is really almost eye-opening when you watch him in the open field. I think that he's seeing things a little bit quicker this year, and that was one of the things I was hoping that he would do coming into the year, because I was worried about his vision coming into the season. But overall, you've seen him kind of bust off some really huge runs, and the run he had against Utah to get him into the end zone, that was a nice, powerful run. He lowered his shoulder through contact, and he gets into the end zone running through that first initial contact. I thought that was really, really impressive for him in that game against the Utes. And then on the other side of the football, we've talked about this Notre Dame offensive line. We've talked about this USC defensive pass rush, and that's going to be one of the big matchups in this game. Mike McGlinchey at left tackle has been a little bit up and down this year. He's given up some big plays in some crucial moments for the Irish. And then Quentin Nelson is just a freaking man-child and one of the best linemen in college football, if not the best. I would probably argue he's the best offensive lineman in the country that's draft eligible. And Nelson is really, really impressive. He'll be matched up on the inside with Rasheem Green, a guy that I watched recently over, I think, a couple weeks ago. And Green, he's a little bit undersized to play on the inside, but he's got a really quick first step. He uses his hands really well. He can win in a couple different ways. I like Rasheem Green. I think that'll be a really interesting matchup to watch on the inside. And then on the outside against McGlinchey, they lost Porter Gustin a couple weeks ago. I don't think he's not going to play in this game, but the senior Uchenna Nwosu has been really disruptive for them this year. He's an athletic kid, a high motor kid. He plays with relentless pursuit of the football, and he gets after offensive linemen. And I think he's got that first step quickness that can give McGlinchey trouble. So that could be one of the big factors to watch in this game down in the trenches. But at the skill positions as well, I mean, Notre Dame, the running back, Josh Adams, who I think he's only a redshirt sophomore, a redshirt junior, he is draft eligible, but a big play guy. He's got really impressive size and speed. Went for 119 yards and almost 10 yards a carry a couple weeks ago against North Carolina. Had a big touchdown in that game. Going up against this USC linebacking core, led by Cameron Smith, who's a big thumper on the inside, 16 tackles and a pick in the win over Utah this past week. So he was really impactful in this game. I watched Cam Smith. I do think he's an NFL player. Don't think he's going to be viewed as a three-down player or as an ideal starter, but I think this kid's going to play in the NFL. If they're able to get Adams in space against Smith, I think that could play really well for the Irish. So that would be something to watch for in this game. They do like to get Adams the ball in the passing game. And speaking of the passing game, the Irish leading receiver, Equanimeous St. Brown, leads them with 15 catches, over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns on the year. Not quite the numbers that you'd want to see from a guy that was viewed by many as one of the top talents at the position in the country, but still a big physical guy. I think he transitions probably best right now more as an inside big slot receiver, more in the mold of like a Marcus Colston and what he was able to do, but still very young. And I think he's only a junior right now. Going up against a USC secondary that's given up some big plays this year. Amon Marshall, a lot of people were excited about. He's a big kid at 6'1", 205. He might be more of a safety when it's all said and done. So both of these guys, in terms of St. Brown and Marshall, big physical players at their respective positions. So it's not like one's got an athletic mismatch over the other. It'll be really interesting to watch those two go at it in this game.
Yeah, there's always a bunch of talent when Notre Dame and USC connect. There's no question. What other matchups around the college football are you looking at this weekend?
Dude, there's a lot of really good games this weekend, a lot of really intriguing matchups. You know, you've got Louisville and Florida State, and so you got Lamar Jackson going up against that Florida State defense. And we've talked about the names, right? I mean, it's Derwin James and Tarvarius McFadden and Derek Nnadi and DeMarcus Christmas at D-tackle and Josh Sweat off the edge and Matthew Thomas and Jacob Pugh linebacker. It's a star-studded defense for the Seminoles once again. So that'll be a really tough test for Lamar Jackson. I'm really, really anxious to see how he performs in that game. You look at the Northwestern and Iowa matchup, both teams have guys on both sides of the ball. I'm watching both running backs in this game, Akram Wadley for the Hawkeyes, Justin Jackson for Northwestern. I think both kind of project as change of pace options at the next level. I like Wadley a little bit more, but they both have the ability to impact the game in a number of ways. For Iowa, look out for Josie Jewell, who's been very, very productive this year, a big physical guy. I think he's just athletic enough to project as a three-down player in this league. And then the Northwestern safety, Godwin Igwebike, I think he's got the ability to be a downhill thumper as a safety, really physical downhill, so he'll impact the run game as well. Those are the matchups to watch in that game. I'm always watching Alabama, so they take on Tennessee this week. Tennessee just kind of hanging on by a thread, and you watch their nose tackle, Khalil McKenzie, going up. This will be one of his biggest tests of the year against that Alabama interior three and Lester Cotton and Ross Pierschbacher and Bradley Bozeman. That'll be a good matchup for him. But like I said, there's a ton of great matchups this week, man. I mean, Thursday night, we've got Memphis and Houston. So Riley Ferguson and Anthony Miller, those guys put on a show a couple weeks ago against UConn. They're on during the week as well, Thursday night. Friday night, we've got Mike White in Western Kentucky. We've got they're taking on Old Dominion. They've got a lot of talent. Middle Tennessee State, I love the slot receiver there, Richie James. Hasn't been super productive because of injuries this year, but I really like Richie James, so keep an eye out for him on Friday night against Marshall. Saturday, I mean, you got Oklahoma State, Texas. There's Syracuse going on the road to Miami. There's North Carolina, Virginia Tech, LSU, Ole Miss, Temple, and Army. A lot of great matchups in Saturday college football.
Yep, and Friday night, I'll be in Cambridge, Princeton at Harvard in a big game. Harvard has Larry Allen Jr. I think he's hurt, though. I don't know that he'll play. In terms of prospects, Princeton has a quarterback that's pretty darn good, Chad Kanoff, and a D lineman that will probably get drafted, but I think he has another year. I think he got hurt his freshman year, so he might have another year. His name's Kurt Haluba. Turned down offers from Florida State and Notre Dame and a bunch of people to go to Princeton. So those are the two guys to watch on each side of the ball there. Make sure you're checking Fran out on Twitter. You can tell anybody that gets that excited about Richie James, the slot receiver for Middle Tennessee State, has serious problems. You got to read his stuff. Follow him on Twitter at FWE3. You can catch the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. He's got talking about the All 22. Then the Saturday scouting article, really cool, dives into even more matchups for the week in college football. Of course, next week, we'll let you know the big happenings from this upcoming week, as well as getting you prepared for week 9 in college football. Other than that, you know the deal. Please check out our other podcasts, and please, please, please not only retweet and like this podcast, but if you can drop a rating, you know, give us a 5-star and a comment. It's huge. Keg is kicked. I think we're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.